unifying his team and dispel the feeling that some decisions are made based on his personal opinion or bias. Too often, people feel as if they've had their professional opinion ignored in spite of providing a solid foundation for that opinion.
Dave always reacts to people rather than responding to them. To have a strong opinion is fine, but to dismiss others' thoughts is not. He also needs to tailor his communication style to the person. His approach is nearly always very direct, which can be difficult for some people to handle.
Natalie T., floor supervisor, relationship management score 69. What people who work with her say. Natalie often minimizes a person's point of view or experience. She justifies bad situations by stating that it could always be worse, you just don't understand, or you should just get over it. She comes across as blunt and not empathetic, particularly with her subordinates. I want her to be more genuine in her interactions with them and show a general appreciation for others.
Natalie needs to stop finding faults in every situation. It's tiring and demotivating. She needs to start recognizing people's achievements. There's a stigma that exists that Natalie is tough, difficult to work for, and unapproachable. She may achieve results, but at the expense of others.
I would like to see Natalie avoid making judgmental or negative statements to her team or others when her statements add no value. Helping people see what could be done different helps them develop, but her continued negative feedback comes across as her feeling the need to belittle people. People no longer value her input and at times view it as her need to be seen as superior.
Chapter 4. Digging In. My Emotional Intelligence Action Plan. Information travels between the rational and emotional centers of your brain, much as cars do on a city street. When you practice EQ skills, the traffic flows smoothly in both directions. Increases in the traffic strengthen the connection between the rational and emotional centers of your brain. Your EQ is greatly affected by your ability to keep this road well-traveled. The more you think about what you're feeling and do something productive with that feeling, the more developed this pathway becomes. Some of us struggle along a 2-lane country road, while others have built a 5-lane superhighway. Whether the former or the latter best describes you, there's always room to add lanes. Plasticity is the term neurologists use to describe the brain's ability to change. Your brain grows new connections much as your biceps might swell if you started curling heavy weights several times a week. The change is gradual, and the weight becomes easier and easier to lift the longer you stick to your routine. Your brain can't swell like your biceps since it's confined by your skull. So instead, the brain cells develop new connections to speed the efficiency of thought without increasing its size. As you apply the strategies from the remaining chapters to increase your EQ skills, the billions of microscopic neurons lining the road between the rational and emotional centers of your brain will branch off small arms, much like a tree branch, to reach out to the other cells. A single cell can grow 15,000 connections with its neighbors. This chain reaction of growth ensures the pathway of thought responsible for the behavior grows strong, making it easier to kick this new resource into action in the future. You'll have to practice the strategies repeatedly before they'll become your own. It can require tremendous effort to get a new behavior going, but once you train your brain, it becomes a habit. If you typically yell when you're feeling angry, for example, you have to learn to choose an alternative reaction. You must practice this new reaction many times before it will replace the urge to yell. In the beginning, doing something other than yelling when you're angry will be extremely difficult, but each time you succeed, the new pathway is strengthened. Eventually, the urge to yell is so small that it's easy to ignore. Studies have demonstrated a lasting change in EQ more than 6 years after new skills were first adopted. The Emotional Intelligence Action Plan that follows will help you to focus your efforts more effectively as you explore and apply the EQ strategies in the remaining chapters. Follow these steps to complete your Emotional Intelligence Action Plan. 1. Transfer your emotional intelligence appraisal scores onto Part 1, My Journey Begins, of an emotional intelligence action plan that you can create by writing down the following. My EQ Action Plan. Part 1, My Journey Begins, and the date completed. Now, list your scores from the Emotional Intelligence Appraisal Test. Overall EQ, score. Self-awareness, score. Self-management, score. Social awareness, score. Relationship management, score. 2. Pick an EQ skill to work on. The human mind can focus effectively on one EQ skill at a time. Even the most ambitious people should trust that working diligently on a single skill will take you far. Your ability and other EQ skills will piggyback on your efforts. Your feedback report from the Emotional Intelligence Appraisal Test recommends a skill for you to start with. You may choose a skill on your own instead, but we recommend you don't start with relationship management if you scored lower than 75 in all 4 EQ skills. 3. Pick 3 strategies to begin using for your chosen skill. Your feedback report from the Emotional Intelligence Appraisal recommends specific strategies from this book based on an analysis of your score profile. Feel free to choose from these recommendations: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship management, or choose different strategies from the strategies chapter for your chosen skill. 4. Choose an EQ mentor. Find someone who is gifted in your chosen EQ skill and ask this person if he or she is willing to offer you feedback and guidance at regular intervals during your journey. Be certain to set up a regular meeting time and write this person's name in your action plan. 5. Keep the following in mind as you apply your chosen strategies. A. Expect success, not perfection. When it comes to developing new EQ skills, perfection means you aren't pushing yourself hard enough. You'll need to continue to catch yourself when your emotions get the best of you if you want to keep improving. B. Practice, practice, practice. Sheer quantity of practice is the real secret to increasing your EQ skills. Practice your EQ strategies as often as you can in a variety of situations and with all types of people. C. Be patient. When you work to improve your EQ, it will take a few months to realize a lasting change. Most people see measurable, enduring changes 3 to 6 months after they begin working on a skill. 6. Measure your progress. Once you've made sufficient progress in the EQ skill you selected for Part 1 of your action plan, go online and take the Emotional Intelligence Appraisal a second time. Complete the action plan again, this time comparing your old and new scores and percentage of change. Chapter 5. Self-Awareness Strategies. Simply put, to be self-aware is to know yourself as you really are. Initially, self-awareness can come across as a somewhat ambiguous concept. There is no finish line where someone is going to slap a medal on you and deem you self-aware. In addition, awareness of yourself is not just knowing that you prefer oranges over apples or telling people that you're a morning person instead of a night owl. It's deeper than that. Getting to know yourself inside and out is a continuous journey of peeling back the layers of the onion and becoming more and more comfortable with what is in the middle, the true essence of you. Your hardwired emotional reactions to anything come before you even have a chance to respond. Since it isn't possible to leave your emotions out of the equation, managing yourself and your relationships means you first need to be aware of the full range of your feelings, both positive and negative. When you don't take time out to notice and understand your emotions, They have a strange way of resurfacing when you least expect or want them to. It's their way of trying to bring something important to your attention. They will persist, and the damage will mount until you take notice. Facing the truth about who you are can at times be unsettling. Getting in touch with your emotions and tendencies takes honesty and courage. Be patient and give yourself credit for even the smallest bits of forward momentum. As you start noticing things about yourself that you weren't previously aware of, things you aren't always going to like, you are progressing. The remainder of this chapter introduces you to 15 original strategies which were designed to help you maximize your self-awareness to create positive changes in your life. The strategies are straightforward and packed full of insights and examples that will help your self-awareness grow. Self-awareness strategies. 1. Quit treating your feelings as good or bad. 2. Observe the ripple effect from your emotions. 3. Lean into your discomfort. 4. Feel your emotions physically. 5. Know who and what pushes your buttons. 6. Watch yourself like a hawk. 7. Keep a journal about your emotions. 8. Don't be fooled by a bad mood. 9. Don't be fooled by a good mood either. 10. Stop and ask yourself why you do the things you do. 11. Visit your values. 12. Check yourself. 13. Spot your emotions in books, movies, and music. 14. Seek feedback. 15. Get to know yourself under stress. Self-awareness strategy number 1. Quit treating your feelings as good or bad. It's human nature to want to create two simple and easy piles of emotions, the good ones and the bad ones. For instance, most people would automatically classify guilt as bad. You don't want to feel it, you might even beat yourself up about it, and you do whatever you can to get rid of it. Likewise, we tend to let good emotions like excitement run wild. We pump ourselves up and feed off the energy. The downfall of attaching such labels to your emotions is that judging your emotions keeps you from really understanding what it is that you are feeling. When you allow yourself to sit with an emotion and become fully aware of it, you can understand what is causing it. Suspending judgment of emotions allows them to run their course and vanish. Passing judgment on whether you should or shouldn't be feeling what you are feeling just heaps more emotions on top of the pile and prevents the original feeling from running its course. So, the next time you feel an emotion beginning to build, take notice of it immediately. Refrain from putting it into the good or bad pile and remind yourself that the feeling is there to help you understand something important. Self-awareness strategy number 2. Observe the ripple effect from your emotions. Consider for a moment what happens when you drop a stone into water. The stone's swift plummet pierces the water's surface, sending ripples in all directions. Your outpourings of emotions are like stones that send ripples through the people in your life. Since emotions are the primary drivers of your behavior, it's important you understand the effect they have on other people. Let's say a manager loses his cool and berates an employee in front of the rest of the team. When the lashing happens, it may seem that the manager's target is the only one whose feelings get bruised, but the ripple effect from the manager's explosion affects all who witnessed it. As the rest of the team members wander back to their desks, the others, too, feel the manager's wrath. They go back to work with a pit in their stomachs, each one wondering when his or her turn will come up. The manager thinks his tirade was good for productivity because the rant scared people straight, but their fear soon settles into caution. To perform at their best, the team members need to take risks, stretch themselves beyond their comfort zone, and even make some mistakes along the way. No one on the team wants to be the manager's next target, so the team members play it safe and do only as they are told. When the manager gets docked a year later for leading a team that fails to take initiative, he wonders what's wrong with the team. Your emotions are powerful weapons, and continuing to think that their effects are instant and minimal will only do you a disservice. The key to observing the ripple effects of your emotions is to watch closely how they impact other people immediately, and then use that information as a guide for how your emotions are bound to affect a wider circle long after you unleash the emotion. To fully understand the ripple effects of your emotions, you'll need to spend some time reflecting upon your behavior. You'll also need to ask other people how they are affected by your emotions. The more you understand how your emotions ripple outward, the better equipped you'll be to choose the type of ripples that you want to create. Self-awareness strategy number 3. Lean into your discomfort. The biggest obstacle to increasing your self-awareness is the tendency to avoid the discomfort that comes from seeing yourself as you really are. Things you do not think about are off your radar for a reason. They can sting when they surface. Avoiding this pain creates problems because it is merely a short-term fix. You'll never be able to manage yourself effectively if you ignore what you need to do to change. Rather than avoiding a feeling, your goal should be to move toward the emotion, into it, and eventually through it. This can be said for even mild emotional discomfort, such as boredom, confusion, or anticipation. When you ignore or minimize an emotion, no matter how small or insignificant, you miss the opportunity to do something productive with that feeling. Even worse, ignoring your feelings does not make them go away. It just helps them to surface again when you least expect them. To be effective in life, we all need to discover our own arrogance, those things we don't bother to learn about and dismiss as unimportant. One person thinks apologies are for sissies, so she never learns to recognize when one is needed. Another person hates feeling down, so he constantly distracts himself with meaningless activity and never really feels content. Both people need to take the bold step of leaning into the feelings that will motivate them to change. Otherwise, they will continue down an unproductive, unsatisfying path, repeating the same patterns over and over again. After the first few times you lean into your discomfort, you will quickly find that the discomfort isn't so bad. It doesn't ruin you, and it reaps rewards. The surprising thing about increasing your self-awareness is that just thinking about it will help you change, even though much of your focus will initially be on the things you do wrong. Don't be afraid of your emotional mistakes. They tell you what you should be doing differently and provide the steady stream of information you need to understand yourself as life unfolds. Self-awareness strategy number 4. Feel your emotions physically. When you experience an emotion, electrical signals course through your brain and trigger physical sensations in your body. The physical sensations can be as varied as your stomach muscles tightening, your heart rate increasing, your breathing quickening, or your mouth going dry. Because your mind and body are so tightly connected, one of the most effective ways to understand your emotions as they are happening is to learn how to spot the physical changes that accompany your emotions. To better understand the physical effects of your emotions, try closing your eyes the next time you have a few moments alone. Feel how fast or slow your heart is beating. Notice the pace of your breathing. Determine how tense or relaxed the muscles are in your arms, legs, neck, and back. Now think of a couple of events from your life, one positive and one negative, that generate strong emotions. Think through one of these events in enough detail that you can feel your emotions stir. Take note of the physical changes that accompany the feelings. Do they make your breathing or heart rate change? Do your muscles grow tense? Do you feel hotter or colder? Repeat this process with the other event and take note of the physical differences in the emotions from the positive and negative experiences. Closing your eyes and thinking of emotionally arousing events is simply training for the real thing, spotting the physical signs of your emotions on the fly. In the beginning, try not to think too hard. Simply open your mind to noticing the sensations. As you improve at this, you'll find that you're often physically aware of an emotion long before you're mentally aware of it. Self-awareness strategy number 5. Know who and what pushes your buttons. We all have buttons, pet peeves, triggers, whatever you want to call them, that when pushed, just irritate and irk us until we want to scream. Perhaps you have a coworker who lives her life as if she were constantly on stage. Her entrance into meetings is dramatic and flaring, and she feeds off the energy from everyone's attention and uses that energy to take control of the room. Her voice is louder than most, and her contributions to the meetings are always long-winded novels, as if she just loves to hear herself talk. If your modus operandi is more subtle, or you would really like part of that stage yourself, a person like that may really eat at you. When you go into a meeting with great ideas and a readiness to just sit down and get straight to the point, a drama queen who's creating a stage in the boardroom is bound to flip your switches for frustration and rage. Even if you aren't the type to blurt out impulsive comments or otherwise go on the attack, your body language may give you away, or you may find yourself on the drive home obsessing over your lingering frustration. Knowing who pushes your buttons and how they do it is critical to developing the ability to take control of these situations, maintain your poise, and calm yourself down. To use this strategy, you can't think about things generally. You need to pinpoint the specific people and situations that trigger your emotions. Your buttons are bound to get pushed by a wide range of people and things. It could be certain people, like drama queens, particular situations, like feeling scared or caught off guard, or conditions in the environment, like noisy offices. Having a clear understanding of who and what pushes your buttons makes these people and situations a bit less difficult because they come as less of a surprise. You can take your self-awareness a big step further by discovering the source of your buttons. That is, why do these people and situations irk you so much when other, equally annoying people and situations don't bother you at all? Perhaps the stage hog reminds you of your sister who got all the attention when you were younger. You lived many years in her shadow, vowing to never let it happen again. Now you sit beside her clone in every meeting. No wonder she's a trigger for your emotions. Knowing why your buttons are what they are opens doors to managing your reactions to your triggers. For now, your tasks are simple. Find the sources of your buttons and jot down a list. Knowing your buttons is essential to using the self and relationship management strategies that come later in the book. Self-awareness strategy number 6. Watch yourself like a hawk. Hawks have the distinct advantage of soaring hundreds of feet above the ground, looking down upon the earth and seeing all that happens below them. The creatures on the ground go about their lives with narrow tunnel vision, not even realizing that the hawk is soaring above them, predicting their every move. Wouldn't it be great to be the hawk, looking down upon yourself in those sticky situations that tend to get the better of you? Think of all the things you would be able to see and understand from above. Your objectivity would allow you to step out from under the control of your emotions and know exactly what needed to be done to create a positive outcome. Even though you're not a hawk, you can still develop a more objective understanding of your own behavior. You can practice by taking notice of your emotions, thoughts, and behaviors right as the situation unfolds. In essence, the goal is to slow yourself down and take in all that is in front of you, allowing your brain to process all available information before you act. Consider an example. Let's say you have a teenage son who is more than 2 hours late for his Friday night curfew. You're sitting in a living room chair in the dark, waiting for him to stroll through the door and offer another creative explanation for why he's late and wasn't answering his phone. The more you sit there thinking about your son's disregard for your authority and the hours of sleep he's just robbed you of, the more your blood boils. Before long, you've forgotten the real reason you're so upset. You're worried about his safety. Sure, you want him to obey the rules, but it's the thought of him out there acting recklessly that's keeping you up. Watching yourself like a hawk in this situation requires taking advantage of this calm before the storm. You know your anger is going to rumble to the surface the moment his weak excuses tumble from his mouth, and you also know he's more likely to follow your rules if you can get him to see and feel your concern. This is the moment when you need to consider what this situation looks like from above. You realize your brooding is just fanning the flames of your anger. You remember that he's a good kid who's been acting too much like a typical teenager lately. You know your anger isn't going to make him change. It hasn't worked thus far. The bigger picture now in clear view, you decide to explain the rationale for his punishment and why you are so upset, rather than just fly off the handle. When he finally comes slithering into the house, knocking the lamp off the end table in the darkness, you're grateful you can see the whole picture and not just what's in front of you. Self-awareness strategy number 7. Keep a journal about your emotions. The biggest challenge to developing self-awareness is objectivity. It's hard to develop perspective on your emotions and tendencies when every day feels like a new mountain to climb. With a journal, you can record what events triggered strong emotions in you and how you responded to them. You should write about time spent at work and home. Nothing is off limits. In just a month, you'll begin to see patterns in your emotions, and you'll develop a better understanding of your tendencies. You'll get a better idea of which emotions get you down, which pick you up, and which are the most difficult for you to tolerate. Pay careful attention to the people and situations that push your buttons, triggering strong emotions. Describe the emotions you feel each day, and don't forget to record the physical sensations that accompany the emotions. In addition to helping you see yourself more clearly, writing down your emotions makes your tendencies much easier to remember, and the journal serves as a great reference as you raise your self-awareness. Self-awareness strategy number 8. Don't be fooled by a bad mood. We all succumb to them every now and then, those down-in-the-dumps moods where nothing seems to be going our way. When you feel this way, your low mood puts a dark cloud over every thought, feeling, and experience you have. The tricky thing about your brain is that once a negative mood takes over, you lose sight of what's good in your life. And suddenly, you hate your job, you're frustrated with family and friends, you're dissatisfied with your accomplishments, and your optimism about the future goes out the window. Deep down, you know that things aren't as bad as they seem, but your brain just won't hear it. Part of self-awareness is knowing what you're going through, even if you can't totally change it. Admit to yourself that your bad mood is hanging a cloud over everything you see, and remind yourself that your moods are not permanent. Your emotions change all the time, and low moods will pass if you allow them to. When you're stuck in a down mood, it's not a good time to make important decisions. You'll have to remain aware of the mood and understand it if you hope to keep it from leading you to make mistakes that will only pull you down further. Not only is it okay to reflect upon recent events that may have brought on the mood, but this is also a good idea, as long as you don't dwell on them for too long, because often that's all it takes to get the mood to pass. Self-awareness strategy number 9. Don't be fooled by a good mood either. Bad moods and negative emotions are not the only ones that cause trouble. A good mood can deceive your thinking just as much as a bad one. When you're feeling excited and really happy, it's easy to do something that you'll regret. Consider this familiar scenario. Your favorite store is having a once-a-year sale with markdowns of up to 75%. You rush into the store on the day of the sale and end up buying all sorts of things that you've always wanted, but can't really afford, at least not all at once. The rush and exhilaration of your purchases carry you through the week as you show off the goods to your friends and family and let them in on the fabulous deals you got. When your credit card bill arrives at the end of the month, it's another story. Foolish spending is not the only mistake you can make while riding the high of a great mood. The excitement and energy you enjoy during a good mood paint a rosy picture of all you encounter. This leaves you far more likely to make impulsive decisions that ignore the potential consequences of your actions. Stay aware of your good moods and the foolish decisions these moods can lead to, and you'll be able to enjoy feeling good without any regrets. Self-awareness strategy number 10. Stop and ask yourself why you do the things you do. Emotions come when they will, not when you will them to. Your self-awareness will grow abundantly when you begin seeking out the source of your feelings. Get in the habit of stopping to ask yourself why surprising emotions rumble to the surface and what motivated you to do something out of character. Emotions serve an important purpose. They clue you into things that you'll never understand if you don't take the time to ask yourself why. Most of the time, it really is that easy. But when you're left to your own devices, the days can just whiz by with little time to contemplate why you do what you do. With a little practice, you can trace your emotional reactions back to their origins and understand the purpose of your emotions. The surprising thing about this strategy is that just paying attention to your emotions and asking yourself good questions like these are enough to help you improve. Can you remember the first time you reacted like this and with whom? Are there similarities between then and now? Can anyone evoke this reaction in you or only specific people? The better you understand why you do the things you do, the better equipped you'll be to keep your emotions from running the show. Self-awareness strategy number 11. Visit your values. The plates of life are constantly spinning above you. You juggle projects at work, never-ending meetings, bills, errands, emails, phone calls, text messages, chores, meals, time with friends and family, the list goes on. It takes great amounts of attention and focus to keep the plates from crashing to the ground. Maintaining this balancing act keeps your attention focused outward rather than inward and on yourself. As you run around struggling to check your daily to-dos off your list, it's easy to lose sight of what's really important to you, your core values and beliefs. Before you know it, you find yourself doing and saying things that deep down you don't feel good about or believe in. This could mean you find yourself yelling at a coworker who made a mistake when you normally find such hostility unacceptable. If yelling at your colleagues runs contrary to the beliefs you wish to live your life by, catching yourself or being caught doing it is bound to make you uncomfortable and even unfulfilled. The trick here is to take the time to check in with yourself and jot down your core beliefs and values. Ask yourself, what are the values that I wish to live my life by? Take a sheet of paper and separate it into two columns. List your core values and beliefs in the left column and anything that you've done or said recently that you aren't proud of in the right column. Is what you value in alignment with the manner in which you conduct yourself? If not, consider alternatives to what you said and did that would have made you proud of yourself, or at least more comfortable. Repeating this exercise somewhere between daily and monthly will be a huge boost to your self-awareness. Before long, you'll find yourself thinking of the list before you act, which will set the stage for making choices you can live with. Self-awareness strategy number 12. Check yourself. Self-awareness is generally an internal process, but there are a few instances in which the outside holds the clues you need to understand what's going on inside. Without question, how you feel is reflected in how you look. Your facial expressions, posture, demeanor, clothes, and even your hair all say important things about your mood. Physical appearance is more straightforward. What you wear sends a pretty clear, established message about how you feel. For example, Wearing old sweatpants and ratty t-shirts and having disheveled hair every day tells the world you've given up, while overdressing for every occasion and never missing your weekly haircut lets people know you're trying too hard. Your demeanor also says a lot about your mood, but the message often gets twisted. If you're meeting someone for the first time and you're feeling insecure about how you'll be received, like many people, you may tend to be aloof and a bit standoffish or get overzealous. When you find yourself in similar situations, it's important to notice your mood and consider its influence upon your demeanor. Is the look that you're projecting to the world one that you've chosen, one that your mood created, or one that you tend to lean on by default? Certainly, what you project reflects how you feel, and it's up to you to understand it. Taking a moment here and there to check yourself will allow you to understand your mood before it sets the tone for the rest of your day. Self-awareness strategy number 13. Spot your emotions in books, movies, and music. If you're having trouble looking within to spot your emotional patterns and tendencies, you can discover the same information by looking outside yourself at the movies, music, and books that you identify with. When the lyrics or mood of a song resonate with you, they say a lot about how you feel. And when a character from a movie or book sticks in your head, it's probably because important aspects of his or her thoughts and feelings parallel your own. Taking a closer look in these moments can teach you a lot about yourself. It can also provide a great tool for explaining your feelings to other people. Finding your emotions in the expressions of artists allows you to learn about yourself and discover feelings that are often hard to communicate. Sometimes you just can't find the words to say what you're feeling until you see it in front of you. Listening to music, reading or listening to novels, watching films, and even looking at art can act as a gateway into your deepest emotions. Take a closer look the next time one of these mediums grabs your attention. You never know what you'll find. Self-awareness strategy number 14. Seek feedback. Everything you see, including yourself, must travel through your own lens. The problem is, your lens is tainted by your experiences, your beliefs, and, without question, your moods. Your lens prevents you from ever obtaining a truly objective look at yourself on your own. Often, there's a big difference between how you see yourself and how others see you. This chasm between the way you view yourself and the way others view you is a rich source of lessons that will build your self-awareness. Self-awareness is the process of getting to know yourself from the inside out and the outside in. The only way to get the second, more elusive perspective is to open yourself up to feedback from others, which can include friends, co-workers, mentors, supervisors, and family. When you ask for their feedback, be sure to get specific examples and situations, and as you gather the answers, look for similarities in the information. Others' views can be a real eye-opener by showing you how other people experience you. Putting the perspectives together helps you see the entire picture, including how your emotions and reactions affect other people. By mustering the courage to peer at what others see, you can reach a level of self-awareness that few people attain. Self-awareness strategy number 15. Get to know yourself under stress. The mountain of stressors in your life is constantly growing. Every time your stress tolerance rises to new heights, you, or those around you, push and push until you take on more. All of the high-tech gadgets at your disposal aren't helping either. If anything, they just seem to speed up your life. If you're like most people, you already recognize some of the warning signs that pop up when stress is looming. The question is, do you heed their warning? You will benefit tremendously from learning to recognize your first signs of stress. The human mind and body, at least when it comes to stress, have voices of their own. They tell you through emotional and physiological reactions when it's time to slow down and take a break. For example, An upset stomach can be a sign that nervousness and anxiety are overwhelming your body. The indigestion and fatigue that follow are your body's way of taking some time off to rest. For you, intense stress and anxiety may create an upset stomach, while for others, the physical signs can be a pounding headache, canker sores, or their backs going out. Your self-awareness in times of stress should serve as your third ear to listen to your body's cries for help. Your body speaks volumes when you push it too hard. Take the time to recognize these signals and recharge your emotional battery before your stress causes permanent damage to your system. Chapter 6. Self-Management Strategies. Self-management is your ability to use awareness of your emotions to actively choose what you say and do. On the surface, it may seem that self-management is simply a matter of taking a deep breath and keeping yourself in check when emotions come on strong. And while it's true that self-control in these situations is a sizable piece of the pie, there's far more to self-management than putting a cork in it when you're about to blow up. Your eruptions are no different from a volcano. There is all sorts of rumbling happening beneath the surface before the lava starts flowing. Unlike a volcano, there are subtle things you can do each and every day to influence what is happening beneath the surface. You just need to learn how to pick up on the rumbling and respond to it. Self-management builds upon a foundational skill, self-awareness. Ample self-awareness is necessary for effective self-management because you can only choose how to respond to an emotion actively when you're aware of it. Since we're hardwired to experience emotions before we can respond to them, it's the 1-2 punch of reading emotions effectively and then reacting to them that sets the best self-managers apart. A high level of self-management ensures you aren't getting in your own way and doing things that limit your success. It also ensures you aren't frustrating other people to the point that they resent or dislike you. When you understand your own emotions and can respond the way you choose to them, you have the power to take control of difficult situations, react nimbly to change, and take the initiative needed to achieve your goals. When you develop the ability to size yourself up quickly and grab the reins before you head in the wrong direction, it keeps you flexible and allows you to choose positively and productively how to react to different situations. When you don't stop to think about your feelings, including how they're influencing your behavior now and will continue to do so in the future, you set yourself up to be a frequent victim of emotional hijackings. Whether you're aware of it or not, your emotions will control you, and you'll move through your day reacting to your feelings with little choice in what you say and do. The remainder of this chapter presents 17 specific strategies, things you can start doing today that will help you manage your emotions to your benefit. Each simple strategy is targeted to an important element of the self-management skill. This carefully crafted set has been honed through many years of testing with people just like you, and are proven methods for increasing your self-management skill. As you master each of the strategies and incorporate them into your daily routine, you will develop an increased capacity to respond effectively to your emotions. Of course, no matter how skilled you become in managing your emotions, there are always going to be situations that push your buttons. Your life won't morph into a fairy tale devoid of obstacles, but you will equip yourself with everything you need to take the wheel and drive. Self-management strategies. 1. Breathe right. 2. Create an emotion versus reason list. 3. Make your goals public. 4. Count to 10. 5. Sleep on it. 6. Talk to a skilled self-manager. 7. Smile and laugh more. 8. Set aside some time in your day for problem solving. 9. Take control of your self-talk. 10. Visualize yourself succeeding. 11. Clean up your sleep hygiene. 12. Focus your attention on your freedoms rather than your limitations. 13. Stay synchronized. 14. Speak to someone who is not emotionally invested in your problem. 15. Learn a valuable lesson from everyone you encounter. 16. Put a mental recharge into your schedule. 17. Accept that change is just around the corner. Self-management strategy number 1. Breathe right. If you're like most people, you breathe in short, shallow breaths throughout the day that don't fully contract your diaphragm to fill your lungs, and you don't even know it. What's to stop you? It's not like you're suffering from the lack of oxygen, or so you think. Your lungs are built to provide precisely the amount of air your body needs for all of your organs to function effectively. When you take shallow breaths, which is any breath that fails to make your stomach protrude outward from the influx of air, you aren't giving your body the full amount of oxygen it needs. Your brain demands a full 20% of your body's oxygen supply, which it needs to control basic functions like breathing and sight, and complex functions like thinking and managing your mood. Your brain dedicates oxygen first to the basic functions because they keep you alive. Whatever oxygen remains is used for the complex functions, which keep you alert, focused, and calm. Shallow breaths deprive your brain of oxygen, which can lead to poor concentration, forgetfulness, mood swings, restlessness, depressed and anxious thoughts, and a lack of energy. Shallow breathing handicaps your ability to self-manage. The next time you're in a stressful or emotional situation, focus on taking slow, deep breaths, inhaling through your nose until you can feel your stomach swell outward and grow tight, and then exhaling gently and completely through your mouth. As you exhale, go ahead and push that breath out until you have completely emptied your lungs. If you want to make sure that you're breathing correctly, place one hand upon your sternum, the long, flat bone located in the center of your chest, and the other hand upon your stomach as you take in breaths. If the hand on your stomach is moving more than the hand on your sternum as you exhale, then you know that you're getting enough oxygen and fully inflating your lungs. If you practice this proper breathing technique, it will grow comfortable enough that you can do it in the presence of other people without them noticing, which is handy for when you find yourself in the middle of a difficult conversation. Anytime you choose to breathe right and flood your brain with oxygen, you'll notice the effects immediately. Many people describe the sensation as one of entering a calmer, more relaxed state where they have a clear head. This makes breathing right one of the simplest yet most powerful techniques that you have at your disposal to manage your emotions. In addition to engaging your rational brain on the spot, breathing right is a great tool for shifting your focus away from intruding, uncomfortable thoughts that are hard to shake. Whether you're overcome by anxiety and stress because of a looming deadline, or fixated on negative thoughts and feelings about something that happened in the past, making yourself breathe right calms you down and makes you feel better by powering up your rational brain. Self-management strategy number 2. Create an emotion versus reason list. You may not always realize it, but there are many times when you allow your emotions to sway you in one direction while your rational mind is tugging at your shirt to go another way. Whenever you find your mind having a battle of the brains, emotional versus rational, it's time to make a list that distinguishes the emotional side of the argument from the rational one. The list will allow you to clear your mind, use your knowledge, and take into account the importance of your emotions without letting them take control. Creating an emotion versus reason list is simple. Draw a straight line down the middle of a page to make two columns. In the left column, write what your emotions are telling you to do, and in the right column, what your reason is telling you to do. Now ask yourself two important questions. Where are your emotions clouding your judgment, and where is your reason ignoring important cues from your emotions? Your emotions will create trouble if you let them lead you around without any reason, but your rational thoughts can be just as problematic if you try to operate like a robot that is without feeling. Your emotions are there whether you acknowledge them or not, and the emotion versus reason list forces you to get in touch with them by putting them down on paper. So, the next time a sticky or stressful situation gives you grief, grab a sheet of paper and give yourself a few quiet moments to organize your thoughts and make your list. With the list in front of you, it will be much easier to see whether you should allow the emotional or rational sides of your thinking to have more say in your decision. Self-management strategy number 3. Make your goals public. Walking your talk is hard, especially when life is always throwing you curveballs. Sometimes, the biggest letdowns are private ones, when we fail to reach a goal or do what we set out to do. There is no more powerful motivator to reach your goals than making them public. If you clearly tell other people what you're setting out to accomplish, be it friends, family, or a spouse, their awareness of your progress creates an incredible sense of accountability. Much of self-management comes down to motivation, and you can use the expectations that other people have of you as a powerful force to get you up off the proverbial couch. If your boss assigns a project, or your running partner meets you every morning at 5 a.m. sharp, you're simply more likely to do something when other people are involved. Select those people whom you know will actually pay attention to your progress. When you share your goals with someone, ask him or her to monitor your progress and hold you accountable. You may even give them the power to dole out reward or punishment, such as the university professor we know who pays his colleagues $100 anytime he misses a deadline on a research article. As you can imagine, he is the rare individual who hardly ever misses a deadline. Self-management strategy number 4. Count to 10. You can thank your kindergarten teacher for this one. It was way back then, sitting on the classroom rug with your legs crossed, that you learned one of the most effective strategies for turning the temperature down when your emotions are running hot. Adulthood has a funny way of making us lose sight of some simple yet profound strategies for self-control. All you have to do is this. When you feel yourself getting frustrated or angry, stop yourself by taking in a deep breath and saying the number 1 to yourself as you exhale. Keep breathing and counting until you reach the number 10. The counting and breathing will relax you and stop you from taking rash action long enough to regain your composure and develop a more clear, rational perspective of the situation. Sometimes you might not even reach 10. For example, if you're in a meeting and someone abruptly interrupts you to blurt out something ridiculous that rubs you raw, you're unlikely to sit there silently while you breathe your way to 10. Even if you don't make it to double digits, you'll stop the flow of frustration and anger long enough to cool down your overheated limbic system and give your rational brain some valuable time to catch up. When your counting needs to be more subtle, there are lots of great ways to hide it from others. Some people will actually bring a beverage with them to every meeting they attend. This way, whenever they feel as though they may blurt out some emotionally charged statement, they take a drink. No one expects them to talk when they're drinking, so they have the time they need to calm down and count if necessary, organize their thoughts, and plan something to say that's more constructive. Reacting quickly and without much thought fans the flames burning in the emotional brain. Since a snappy comeback usually leads to a heated exchange where barbs are thrown back and forth, it's easy to find yourself in the midst of a full-blown emotional hijacking. When you slow things down and focus on counting, it engages your rational brain. You can then regain control of yourself and keep your emotions from running the show. Self-management strategy number 5. Sleep on it. In the timeless classic War and Peace, Leo Tolstoy wrote that the two strongest warriors are time and patience. The power of these warriors comes from their ability to transform situations, ease pain, and provide clarity. Sometimes situations that require our patience can feel so uncomfortable, dissatisfying, and rife with anxiety that we jump to action just to alleviate the internal turmoil. But more often than not, giving yourself that extra day, week, or month to digest the situation before moving forward is all you need to stay in control. And sometimes, while you're waiting, things may surface that make your decision that much easier to make. Time helps you to self-manage because it brings clarity and perspective to the thousands of thoughts that go swimming through your head when something is important. Time also helps you to gain control of emotions that you know would lead you in the wrong direction if you were to let them drive. It's that simple. All you need to do is force yourself to wait for the dust to settle before you make a move. Self-management strategy number 6. Talk to a skilled self-manager. Role models come in all shapes and sizes, and they influence our lives in ways that are hard to predict. One of the most powerful ways to learn self-management is to seek out skilled self-managers to learn their tricks. Many people's weaknesses in emotional intelligence are simply the product of skills that don't come naturally to them. In the case of people who are gifted in an emotional intelligence skill, they are usually very aware of what it is they do well, which makes it easy for you to learn from them. First, find a person whom you consider to be a master self-manager. If you don't feel that you can spot a skilled self-manager on your own, you can always have someone take the test that comes with this book. Offer to take your self-management whiz out for lunch or coffee. Explain that you're seeking improvement in this skill and ask him or her to review the self-management section of this book before the meeting. During the meeting, share your specific goals for improved self-management and ask what tactics he or she relies on to self-manage so well. Be sure to share the emotions and situations that give you the most trouble. You're bound to learn some unique and effective ways to manage yourself that you would have otherwise never been exposed to. Before you leave the meeting, write down the best tips and choose a couple that you can begin trying immediately. Ask your self-management whiz if the two of you can meet again after you've had a chance to try the suggestions out. Self-management strategy number 7. Smile and laugh more. Did you know that when you laugh and smile, your face sends signals to your brain that you're happy? Your brain literally responds to the nerves and muscles in your face to determine your emotional state. So what does this mean for self-management? When you're stuck on a frustrating or distressing thought, forcing yourself to smile counteracts the negative emotional state. If you work in customer service, or any time you need to look upbeat when you're really not up for it, making yourself throw on a large, legitimate smile where your cheeks push upwards will trick your mind into feeling the mood you need for the moment. French university researchers measured the power of a smile by having two groups of subjects read the same comics page from the newspaper. One group of subjects was instructed to hold a pencil in their teeth while reading, which activates the muscles used in smiling, while the other group held the pencil with their lips, which does not activate the muscles used in smiling. Those who were unknowingly smiling found the cartoons far more humorous and had a better time while reading them than people in the group that weren't smiling. You can also use smiling and laughter to lift your mood by watching a show or reading a book that you know you find funny. This can feel like an odd choice when you're feeling down, but it's a great way to override the negative emotions and clear your head, especially if your down mood is paralyzing your judgment. Smiling and laughter won't eliminate feeling down, and they shouldn't. Every mood has its purpose, but it's nice to know you have an out when you need to put on a happy face. Self-management strategy number 8. Set aside some time in your day for problem solving. You experience hundreds of emotions every day, some of which you're not even aware. You spend your day bouncing around from feeling to feeling, which can lead to making some decisions at inopportune times. Think back through some of your recent decisions, and you'll likely find that the decisions you made while hurrying through your day were seldom as effective as those made with some planning and clear thinking. The only way to ensure that you have the right space to make good decisions is to set aside some time in your schedule for problem solving. Just keep it simple. A 15-minute period each